This is Voices of Our World. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. Both the flu-phobic and just plain good comparison shoppers are turning north of the border to our Canadian neighbors for this year's flu shot and lower-cost prescription drugs. If you have any doubts about Canada's quality standards, you won't have after you hear from Dr. Phil Gold. Dad. Oh, you don't sound good at all. What's going on? Well, I mean, health experts say if your symptoms stay concentrated in your head and upper chest, it's probably a cold, and it'll be over in just a week. But if you have a persistent fever and additional symptoms, then you might be talking the flu. I know. It's very exasperating that the most powerful and developed country on Earth, after being caught unprepared with enough flu vaccine in 2003 and promising that would never happen again, sure enough, when it came time this year, oops, sorry folks, the vaccine is contaminated. Well, Dad, maybe you can get a shot in Canada, but you're on the phone with the wrong person. Call your doctor. Actually, when it came to your flu shot this year, your doctor might not have been much help. After the American company Chiron's manufacturing plant in Britain was shut down for bacterial contamination, only 25 million doses of flu vaccine remained for distribution to the 98 million Americans who needed it most. These include persons over 65, folks with compromised immune systems, young children, caregivers, and healthcare workers. But the extreme shortfall has meant rationing, long lines, and lotteries. So as Americans began lining up for shots being offered in Canada, it came as a bit of a jolt when President Bush, during the debates, cast some doubt on Canadian quality. Well, I'm being polite. The remarks may have raised questions for Americans seeking flu shots and lower-priced prescription drugs from Canadian sources, but for Health Canada, Canada's FDA, Bush's remarks may have been construed as downright insulting. Not long after the debates, our director of media relations, Howard Schwartz, called on Dr. Phil Gold, executive director of the Clinical Research Center at Montreal General Hospital, for his take on the president's comments. Here's Howard with Dr. Gold.
Hi, Dr. Gold, and thank you for joining us today.
Pleasure.
If you happen to catch the second presidential debate, President Bush was asked a question dealing with individual Americans and states purchasing lower-cost prescription drugs in Canada. The president voiced concerns comparing FDA standards versus quality control standards in Canada.
Well, I actually listened to that and came halfway off the couch. I think that those who are aware will know that I say this with a great deal of pride. Canada, for the most part, in terms of its pharmaceutical industry, for patent medicines, if you will, is largely a branch operation. So obviously, we do in Canada, for the most part, what the parent organization does in the U.S. So virtually anything that is being done in Canada is modeled on the U.S. phenomenon in both production, packaging, and oftentimes, in fact, in turning around material coming up here from the States already prepared for packaging and distribution. So effectively, the U.S. and Canada are virtually identical in the kinds of rules and regulations, and more important, the materials that we prepare and sell.
Okay, well, as you mentioned, pharmaceutical companies in the United States, such as Merck and Pfizer and Novartis and so on, have their own Canadian headquarters, and they market and sell the same prescription medications as their offices in the United States.
Precisely.
Now, Dr. Gold, in order to comply with Canadian law, is there any difference whatsoever in the formulations of these drugs?
None.
None whatsoever?
None whatsoever. In fact, it's illegal to do so.
Can you elaborate on that?
Well, again, I think that because the preparation is being done in a fashion that's been patented, then effectively one has to use the patent process in preparing materials. Some preparation is done here, but for the most part, the patenting process for how medication should be prepared is standard. And so effectively, it has to be done in exactly the same fashion here as there. Our chemists go back and forth across the border, if you will, and the material management is exactly the same in both the U.S. and Canada.
Well, does Health Canada simply take the data submitted to the Food and Drug Administration and use that to rubber stamp approval in Canada?
No, there's no rubber stamping ever, as you probably know very well, Howard. After the material comes up here, and usually, by the way, the clinical trials are carried out simultaneously in multi-centers in Canada and the U.S., but no medication ever enters Canada without being approved in Canada. And in fact, I think you'll learn if you talk with a lot of people, particularly at the old Health Protection Branch, now called by another name, that in fact the approval process in Canada may somewhat be a little more stringent than it is in the U.S.
Interesting, because the suggestion was that Health Canada might not be as rigorous.
I assure you, having dealt with both, that certainly is rigorous. And they can send you up the wall occasionally if you're trying to get things done quickly. But they do it slowly and carefully. And I've not dealt with anybody at Health Canada who could in any way be regarded as someone who would let something easily go by. So that the process is extraordinarily rigorous here.
One of the best-selling medications for several years is Viagra, but it took a full year for Health Canada to allow the sale of that medication in Canada. Do you think that kind of delay is a political ploy on the part of Canadian officials?
No, I think that Viagra, as you might recall, was actually marketed initially or put to the test initially as an antihypertensive or something for high blood pressure. And it was noticed that the people whose blood pressure began to fall also began to have erections. And it suddenly became a medication for one thing rather than another, because I guess sex sells better than blood pressure. But with that said, at the end of the day, the concern was that there might be adverse events. And indeed, there have been, as you know, the Viagra interaction with the nitroglycerin-like materials for coronary artery disease and the problem of patients taking both at the same time. That said, I think that Health Canada was very meticulous and very careful in terms of cardiac manifestations and cardiac complications, and I think avoided a lot of problems by the kind of marketing, if you will, and the kind of warnings that went out to my colleagues and became very much aware of the problem.
Do you think it's no accident that officials here are blurring the line between medication which is sold by Canadian pharmacies and so-called Canadian versions sold over the Internet but which come from questionable sources?
Well, again, I'm not sure what the questionable sources are. I suspect that the same companies that are preparing the, quote, patent medicine products are also selling to generic firms, although I wouldn't be held to law by that one. But with that said, no material that is prepared and sold can be prepared in any fashion other than the way that it was formulated. So that, you know, no company, I mean, this is not a piracy phenomenon. This is not someone in the back room of some small lab preparing his own pills and selling them onto the market. Effectively, I don't agree with physicians, by the way, who sign off on other physicians' prescriptions just because they've got to be cross-border. That puts physicians in jeopardy and you don't know the patients you're dealing with. But with that said, I think that the legal fashion for purchasing drugs from Canada is one that should be encouraged, I guess, except that the Canadian population is beginning to be concerned, as are the politicians, that we're going to be selling our drugs to the U.S. and not have enough here.
Well, now that brings up the irony that Canadian medications are supposedly unsafe, but your flu vaccine is fine.
On this, I was a third debate, I guess, where Mr. Bush said that he was going to, in fact, be talking with the Canadian government and the pharmaceutical firms here for shipping vaccine across. And Mr. Kerry let that go. In other words, our formulations of medication aren't good enough, but vaccine, which is far more difficult to prepare, as I'm sure you know, is quite adequate.
What's the reaction of Canadian health officials to negative remarks made by politicians and health officials here?
I think basically people are beginning to ignore the comments being made, the same as they're ignoring the political debates, frankly. The spin on everything is exactly what you want it to be that day, and depending upon what side you're on, you're going to interpret it in another fashion. So I don't think anyone's paying much attention. I think initially the feeling was, you know, the short hairs in the back of your neck stand up, because how dare they say that? But on the other hand, it's a political phenomenon, and I think you'll let that go by. I suspect that we're going to be dealing with our Canadian neighbors very soon. And there'll be a good exchange of materials. It may well be that the U.S. is going to have to adopt a Canadian practice of regulating pharmaceutical prices. And again, I think one doesn't want to get involved, if you will, in a political interaction at this point in time.
Have the Canadian media reacted?
You see it occasionally. Of course, the presidential debates are quoted, the presidential statements are quoted, et cetera, and the political statements are always quoted. But I don't think that anyone's taking it all too seriously. I mean, it's the same, if you will, as the ongoing denigration by certain quarters in the U.S. of the Canadian health system, which, you know, is not that sufficient, and people die, et cetera, because doctors don't look after them. And, I mean, all of which is basically, you know, is patent nonsense. Granted, access may be easier for those who can afford it in the States on occasion, but the quality of medicine has always been superb. The system has been a bit underfunded. But with that said, we're still providing, I think, universal access and providing it pretty well.
On a personal note, you have devoted decades to teaching medical students and overseeing clinical trials in Canada. So how does this debate make you feel?
It gives me the willies a bit, frankly, when it comes to that, because I think it's sending very bad messages in both directions, particularly, for example, to the American population that is, in fact, purchasing Canadian medications in one fashion or another, with the suggestion that, you know, we're poisoning people or they may be poisoning themselves by not getting the best medication for their condition. It's an unhappy situation. But on the other hand, when I hear the vice president say that, you know, as they say in Wyoming, if you put lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig, I don't particularly get concerned about what they say about the Canadian healthcare system.
So for Americans and U.S. states attempting to buy medicines in bulk in Canada,
correct,
there's nothing to worry about?
Absolutely nothing at all. I mean, I think that I can say without any question of certainty, nothing whatever.
Okay. Well, the American healthcare system is becoming notorious for its share of problems. The socialized medicine system in Canada has realized it cannot offer all things to all people and has made some adjustments.
Correct.
Could you comment on the contrast between the two?
Well, I think that basically virtually every healthcare system in the Western world is facing comparable problems for very different reasons. In Canada, the problem is one of access, if you will, because there isn't quite enough of everything that we need to do things all the time. And so we've been, in fact, trying to prioritize. I think the problem in the U.S., without very much of a secret, and again, this is something Mr. Kerry's been beating up on all the way through, is that it's not simply a matter of access, but there are people who simply have no access. And that's really the critical issue. If I had to find one particular reason, this is what it was. And again, the problem of, you know, of tort and of clinicians and hospitals and institutions being sued, whether by Mr. Edwards or not, is immaterial, but certainly that's contributed to the problem as well. But right now, the real issue is that inordinate numbers of Americans are either uninsured or only partially insured, and it's a major concern across the board.
Dr. Gold, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
My pleasure, Howard. Thank you.
Whether it's flu vaccine or Vioxx, do you ask questions before taking prescriptions or shots?
Log on to the Voices of Our World webpage, www.maryknoll.org/voices. There's a spot there for your feedback.
Well, that's all for this week, and thanks for listening. Gary Matsumoto and Dr. Phil Gold are just some of the voices of our world. Voices of Our World is a presentation of this station and Mary Knoll. Our producers are Kathy Golden and Eleanor Ostrinsky, and our executive producer is Larry Rich. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. Our thanks go to our media relations director, Howard Schwartz. You'll find more information on today's guests and topics on our program's website, www.maryknoll.org/voices. And if you'd like to find out more about Mary Knoll, or to get a subscription to Mary Knoll magazine in English or Spanish, just call 1-877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. If you have any questions or comments about this show, again, just call 1-877-MARY-KNOLL. If you missed a portion of this program, you can catch us on Mary Knoll's website, www.maryknoll.org/voices. And please join us next time for more Voices of Our World.